Hello and welcome to Inside View, a weekly public service show on Cool 101.7. I'm News Director Dave Doney, joined today by my broadcast partner Joel Riley and our special guests Jill Medley and Matt McHenry with Learning for Life Farm in Johnstown.
Jill, Learning for Life, I was out there for your fall festival last year and just had an absolute blast. I know Joel says he drives by there all the time and sees it. But for folks who maybe are tuning in or going, okay, what's Learning for Life? Maybe explain what the mission is, what you guys are trying to do.
Okay. So Learning for Life Farm was established in 2019, so we are in our sixth year. That was when we built the barn and everything, though, so really about 4 years of programming going on. We tend to have kids in transition age, which is typically 13, 14 on up. Students come out and attend the farm and work with their hands, get in the dirt, work with the animals, those kinds of things. Most of our students have autism or a related disability, and we are working on employability skills, teaching them things that will transfer and generalize into the community and hopefully a job down the road.
I would think sense of community probably is a key part of what you
Huge.
Do too there.
Yeah. Yeah, we were just talking about that when we had an event last Thursday night and how many people from the community showed up to support us and help raise money for the farm. It's been really, really nice to see how many people come out and support it and see the things that the kids are doing to prepare for that. You know, the kids like actually get things ready for the events that we have so they can see their work that the kids are putting into things.
Okay. The event they were at was a Blue Jackets. They were doing
yes.
the 50-50 raffle.
Right.
Yes.
Who was hardest on people? You or you, man? I mean, who was running around going, you better, oh, look at this.
No, it wasn't
here.
Me. It was my husband did that part.
Yeah. I was carrying the sign
yes,
around
he was
trying
too.
To entice people. But you know, in those situations, most people who want to buy are going to find you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But I mean, you didn't have like little onion, eat a little onion before, little tears coming down your face.
But it is an absolutely wonderful time when they come up to just get 10, 15 seconds with somebody just to tell them what you're about, what you're there to do. And it's amazing how many people can identify and have either a family member, friend, some sort of person in their life that is touched by autism. So it's pretty powerful, 10, 15 seconds to share with somebody who you'd never met before.
And you know, just listening to different people on different boards that I sit on, you hear folks who say, and we'll get into your story, but they do say, man, how many folks are dealing with the same thing, but they're not sure. And then they talk to you or they talk to Jill and they're like, well, yeah, that is right. I'm not the only one, because you need to have that support of each other, correct? Outside of what you folks are doing, just to have a parent or somebody else you can talk to.
Oh, absolutely. When I mean, it can be kind of isolating when you first kind of realize the situation you're in, but that is where that community comes in. You're like, oh my gosh, there's this whole other subset of people who know exactly what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. And that's so powerful to be able to connect with them on a regular basis.
And remind folks how you got involved. Because, I mean, it's not every time you just drive down the road and
absolutely.
Go, hey, I'm going to go help these guys.
My son is on the spectrum. And we had the fortunate opportunity through the work that I do in construction to work alongside with Jill and her team as building their schools, who were dedicated to kids with IEP plans who are on the spectrum. And just having the chance to work with them and see the care that they took in the planning and the setup and the environments and how they supported the kids, it just really touched me. So I decided I needed to do something to help. You look around sometimes and you expect everybody else to step up, or you think, oh, somebody else will take care of that. But it's really up to you. It's really up to us, the people who are experiencing this every day. It really comes to us to be the ones to step up. And so I felt like I had to do that.
Mm-hmm. Jill, you mentioned the students. What is the age range then that your folks are dealing with? And how do folks get referred? I mean, how does that all work if somebody says, well, I think I know somebody could benefit from this?
So typically we're working with late middle school to high school students. So anywhere from 13 to 21, working with young adults that will be transitioning, you know, into the, hopefully into a work environment within those years. We do also do some field, more like field trip opportunities for younger kids. We have a Mommy and Me Day during the summer. So we do have some opportunities for the younger kids to come out and get their hands in there and explore the farm, but we're not teaching them resume skills like we are with the older kids.
When you have like that Mommy and Me class, or when you have new prospective people, are they reluctant? I mean, is it like, wow, this is big, or wow, I'm not sure about this? Or is it already like, hey, this is going to be great for us?
You know, I think it varies, because we get families from different and students from different parts of the city. So I think when we get these kids that are from maybe Newark or Johnstown, they maybe have a little more farming experience than our kids that are coming. We do have kids that are coming from Columbus and from Canal Winchester, and some of them are like, whoa, I've never, you know, cleaned the alpaca poop.
What comes out of that end? I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, so it's really different, I think, you know, based on their past experiences. Okay. However, I would say 75 to 85% of them probably don't have much farming experience. Okay. So it is new. And most of them prefer the flowers and the vegetables to cleaning the barn, but they do love the animals.
Seems like just a subset of humanity.
Yes, I think
that
you're right.
Seems pretty regular.
That sounds like somebody who's ready to go into management.
Yes. There you go.
You have special aptitude, young lady. We want to talk to you. So who works with them then? Who's on your staff out there? Who works with the folks?
We have an amazing intervention specialist named Amanda that is the lead. Lead everything out there. She really does the majority of the programming and working with the students. And then we have another great girl named Jess that is kind of the more of the administrative side. She does a lot of our outreach and community, Facebook, mm-hmm. social media, and all that stuff.
How'd you get involved? I mean, I know you've been involved for a while, but I mean, what was it that, you know, sparked that interest?
So I was the CEO and founder of a group of schools called the Learning Spectrum that I started many years back. And as those kids that I worked with when they were little and they started graduating, and I would find that they were sitting at home and not really out in the community, we decided that we needed to do something about that. So we started the farm to kind of help these kids before they get to that age and help their parents, you know, experience things like, hey, my kid could do this. My kid could get a job. My kid, you know, because they see him at school, but that's a pretty safe environment for them. And they've been there for a long time, and they're with their peers they've been with since kindergarten, taking them and putting them in a new environment and showing them themselves and their parents that they've got a lot of skills that they've learned throughout the years was important to me to see that they have that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like we're finding more and more, and Matt, maybe you can speak to this, as far as like, you know, getting tested, you're finding more and more things that they put on the spectrum, more and more kids are coming in. Have you seen that over the years?
Oh, wow,
this would have never been, you know, classified autism 10, 15 years ago, and now you're finding more of it, so many more people?
Yeah, the spectrum has definitely expanded in terms of what would qualify for services, and whether that's just better diagnosis, if it's increased awareness, I it's hard to tell, but we definitely have a lot more, and we have a lot of families that come in maybe with a kid who's classically autistic, and then you find out there's a sibling or a couple siblings that have some autistic, like, you know, tendencies that we can, you know, they all benefit from being part of the program. Mm-hmm.
It seems educationally too, I mean, even in public schools, a lot of variety now of like credits and course track and those kind of things. And it's because it seems like education is starting to reach out, like trying to hit kids where they are, rather than like, hey, we got a teacher, we got 30 kids, let's do the thing, A's, B's, C's, done, move on, whatever. So do you find that in your environment too? Like some kids you have to work a little more closely with. Some are, you know, more sight and sound oriented. Other ones are like, wow, I need like a lot less of that. Mm-hmm. That's got to be a challenge.
Yeah, I think for our population, it's been really great to see the variety. And what sets us apart, I think, from a lot of other programs is we meet individually with each one of these kids. Our groups are pretty small that come through, but we meet individually and we set individual goals with them. And we monitor those as we move through the program. So it's not just, oh, come here and as a group you'll get treated or to this program or that program. It's really individualized. And for us, that gives us much more insight into, you know, where are these kids at now and how do we get them to where they need to be. It's not, when I first started and when Jill was telling me about, we need to get job skills trained, job. And so I'm thinking like, oh, they're going to learn how to like make something or fix something or somehow, you know, this very specific skill. But really what we're trying to do is get them used to working and taking a step back from those specific skills and saying, how do we get them to operate in a group environment comfortably? How do we get them to be part of a process and not have to understand the entire process, but just to do their part? There are those types of social skills that we take for granted, but that are so necessary to be able to be successful in the workplace. And that's really what we're trying to focus on is those sorts of skills so that they are able to be trained to do a specific skill. They're able to operate within a workplace office environment for a full day. Mm-hmm. That's the work.
In the special education world, those are called soft skills.
Yeah. So, yeah. She knows all the terminology. Yeah, I just
described it beautifully.
Beautiful.
Those soft skills that are not necessarily taught directly that a typically developing young person picks up in school through just being part of their, you know, classroom, then those have to be specifically taught a lot of times.
Yeah. And to Jill's point, like what she found, I mean, there's some statistic that it's crazy. Like 85% of the kids are, or adults on the spectrum are not fully employed. And we all know what jobs mean to us. So it's important.
Yeah. Important. Well, and it's interesting too. I mean, just like with the backdrop of college basketball right now, you know, the tournament, you get aware of certain education facilities, and High Point's one of those places that a lot of people are like, wow, they really broke out into the scene and all that, and they're like, hey, well then you learn like the college, what they do there, like they do classes like, you know, hey, you're going to be riding in an elevator one day with a decision maker, you got 20 seconds to make an impression, so they put them in an elevator and give them 20 seconds, or they set them in a dinner setting. And they're like, hey, you got to learn what forks to use at the right time, and here's your water glass and those things, but present well to maybe move yourself forward. So you're just doing that kind of thing on a different level.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I read a lot of that about High Point. I had no idea.
Yeah.
It's such a small school, mm-hmm. and that they really focus on real world experiences. It's really cool, and I feel like that is some of what we're doing, you know, putting the kids in environments where these are the things you're going to encounter in the real world, whether it's a big egg hunt like we have coming up, you know, whether it's something like that and the kids come out and participate in that with us, or it's smaller, you know, in the hoop house working with the vegetables, trying to expose them to different things and help them learn how to navigate situations.
You kind of touched on the Easter egg hunt, but how about a little bit more details, when, where, all those good kind of things?
Yeah, our egg hunt this year is coming up on Saturday, April 4th. And it'll be from
10 to 1.
10 to 1. So come on out. We'll have, you'll get a chance to look at the farm store. We'll have lots of good stuff that's been prepped by the kids. We'll have an egg hunt, of course. We'll have the Easter Bunny in live and in person. So excited for that. And it's just a great chance to come out and see us and just kind of see what we're doing and ask as many questions as you can. Get a look around. We might even have some early season stuff to hand out. So, yeah.
I haven't heard yet. Are the baby chicks making an appearance?
I believe so. We are working on,
awesome.
We should have a new goat and chicken barn delivered in the next couple of weeks, maybe even in the next week.
Yeah.
And so we'll have some new denizens out there. We'll have a couple of smaller goats, well, four or five. And then I think we have 6 to 8 chickens. Mm-hmm. So we're slowly expanding the membership at the farm.
Well, you know, nothing something excites kids, like baby animals. I mean, baby goats. I mean, is there anything cuter than a baby goat?
We don't think so. That's why.
Yeah. My wife might just hike over for that.
Yeah, it was a very, you know, the farm director was very adamant that if we were going to add to the farm offering, that it should be something that is loved and by virtually everyone that sees them, and that is baby goats. Yeah.
You've been listening to Inside View on Cool 101.7. I'm News Director Dave Doney. I'd like to thank my broadcast partner, Joel Riley, and our special guests today, Jill Medley and Matt McHenry with Learning for Life Farm in Johnstown. And as always, I'd like to thank you for listening. Have a great day.